Welcome, King James.
I'm a cartoon?
I'm shorter than Kevin Hart!
What is up, everybody? We are back with Hoop Cinema. It has been a ridiculously long time since we've recorded one of these.
Yes, it has.
I just looked up how long ago it had been. It has been 576 days since we've done a Hoop Cinema episode. But no better time to bring it back than now, the summer of 2021, when we have finally a new Space Jam in theaters. This has been in production, in thought for a very, very long time. The speculation has been around for almost a decade. And here we are. We're back. I'm here joined today by two lovely gentlemen. My main man from the 48 Minutes Network, Tim Daniel. How you doing, man?
I'm fantastic. I'm so excited to be talking about Space Jam, not number two.
And my man, one of the original Corner Three, who got this whole thing started, my old roommate, the old guitar player from my band, one of the biggest movie buffs I know, and the best man for my wedding, Alex Derrickson. How's it going?
Dude, it's 25 years. 25 years, and this is what we got. That's what we got to show for it.
120 minutes, we're not getting back.
150 mil, almost $1 million a minute that movie cost. $150 million budget, 120 minute runtime.
Yeah.
So we finally got a new Space Jam. It took forever. I feel like we were a little bit more pumped about this when it was initially announced. At least I was anyway. Because of the pandemic, this is one of those movies that was released in theaters and on HBO Max on the same day. So I was out of town last week, but Alex and Tim got to go see this in person in a theater. And I feel like when you go see a movie in a theater, it makes it a little bit better.
Well, yes. Here's the thing. So this was my first theater going experience since Rise of Skywalker. So I don't know. Okay. I don't know if two counts as a losing streak, but we're not on a hot one right now.
I guess I got you beat because I saw Cruella in theaters and then I saw this.
Hey, that's not bad.
Yeah.
You know what? I haven't seen Cruella, but everyone I've talked to has said it's been great. So, and I have a feeling there's probably more positive people out there about that, about Cruella than what we're about to talk about, because I feel
like called Dalmatian cinema.
So, we finally got this movie. You guys saw it in the theaters. And what was, I have to ask before we get into the plot, into, you know, a little bit about the, you know, how this all got started. What were your initial thoughts coming off of the first viewing of this, Tim?
Well, first it was, what time are we actually going to see the movie? Because our first screening got delayed.
I'm sorry. Your screening got delayed.
Yeah, so we Alex and I are literally walking into the theater for the 6:30 showing, and this guy from the cinema follows us in and he goes, you guys aren't going to be able to see your movie. They're probably going to have to refund you. And we're like, huh? They're like, our projector's not working. And we're like, oh, okay. And so we Alex and I are both in our early 30s, so we're adults. We understand things happen. So we get in line with the customer service area and we're like, oh yeah, this is fine. The families around us, not so much. They weren't very excited about having to see their screen rescheduled.
Oh no. Oh no. Well, when we were talking about The Rise of Skywalker, Alex, I think that was the worst film experience I've ever had. I went to go see that. It was a bunch of people my age that were, you know, in their late 30s, they all had children and they had brought their children to see the movie, but the dads were naturally more excited than the children were.
Yes.
They started airing the film. It was upside down to begin with. Then they turned it around and I had to buy a ticket for 3D because that was all that was available. The 3D didn't work. You saw, all you did was see just waves and waves of men pulling glasses on and off, going, the 3D is not working. Me and two dads storm out of the theater. The only person that's out there is the poor popcorn girl. And we're like, movie doesn't work. Movie doesn't work. So I go back into theater and they have stopped it right on the frame where they pretty much, you know, blow the cover that Emperor Palpatine is back. And he's just there. And everybody was so upset. And on top of that, I think that might be the worst Star Wars sequel. So yeah, let's
up there.
Anyways, let's go back. So that's a bad story. So you guys were off to a bad start with Space Jam, but
we were.
Okay. So initial reaction after actually seeing it.
Initial reaction was I was really glad they didn't just basically do a complete reprint of the first one. You know, because it definitely could have just been easily been that movie, considering, you know, it wasn't too long. It was 5 years ago that Jordan Brand got really excited about the 20th anniversary. They re-released the Space Jam 11s. They brought the Monstars back in commercials. You know, it was still fresh in memories.
Yeah.
Not too long ago, I got for Christmas, my mom bought me the original special edition Blu-ray, like the tin case.
Mm-hmm.
So that's sitting
collector's on collector's edition.
Yeah, collector's edition. It has like the actual commercial that started the movies on there and stuff.
Very
like
nice.
That. So that's pretty cool.
Very nice.
I didn't get any of the cool trading cards though, so that's bullshit. But yeah, I mean, you know, I was really excited about it because of obviously what it is. We've talked about this in the past on shows, how much I really enjoyed Space Jam as far as like the nostalgia, because I'm a sucker for nostalgia. But also the fact that like I really enjoy LeBron James actually as an actor. Like we've talked a million times. He's so funny in Trainwreck, and it's kind of a supporting role.
Yeah.
But I almost feel like this movie, like he still acted fine. You know, still his acting wasn't bad necessarily for doing a CGI movie that he probably wasn't familiar with. Thankfully he had Don Cheadle there. But it almost felt like he kind of had like some Rob Riggle syndrome where you're like, Rob Riggle's really funny as like the side character, but if you put him as the main character, it's probably not going to be so great.
And I don't necessarily think that's LeBron's fault.
Not at all.
And I think it has a lot to do with the writing of this film. Alex.
Yeah.
So what was your initial reaction?
Like, I was excited going in. Like, I thought that this was, for lack of a better phrase, no pun intended at the time, but this should have been like a slam dunk for them, right? Like, I was like going into it, you know, we had seen movies like this done kind of with like Ralph Breaks the Internet, like a tasteful way to showcase all of the things under your umbrella or whatever it was. You know, I was excited. Space Jam itself, I don't look back on with like nostalgia goggles. You know, like I understand, like for what it is, it's fine. Like if you make the it's a kids movie exception, like it's an okay movie. I thought that the bar was pretty low for this one, and I thought it still tripped over it like on my way out. That was
I'm gonna pretty much side with you, because I obviously didn't get to go see it in theaters with you guys, but I watched it, you know, at home, you know, where there are distractions, but I still tried to concentrate on this film.
Sure.
And I completely agree with you. I'm not as nostalgic for this film as, say, Tim is.
Oh, call me out.
It's a great 90s time capsule.
It is. It's a great, you know, and my wife enjoys Space Jam a lot. It was part of her childhood.
Yeah.
I was in the seventh grade when this film came out, when the original Space Jam came out.
Okay.
And to me, I really wasn't that interested in it. I was really interested in the NBA, but I almost felt like that one was for the kids, but it was still an okay movie.
There's a certain ubiquity to it, with it being like the 90s and it being like Michael Jordan and basketball and Looney Tunes. Yeah. Like those three things were never bigger than they were in 96 year it was.
And the one thing that really stood out to me about the original Space Jam is it has some weight to it. Michael Jordan had left the game of basketball to go play baseball and then come back. And they've kind of written that into the story, not so much his father's death, but they kind of wrote that in there. I just feel like there was a little bit of like some emotional weight there. And then him coming back and winning the championship the previous season, you know, it was... he was at the right time to make that movie when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
With that being said, LeBron also coming off of an NBA championship last year.
Yeah.
So this was the right time for him, I suppose. I don't know. I just feel like the weight of the original and the soundtrack for the original is just, it's an all time soundtrack. So, you know, but I will say this, Tim, I agree with you. I am glad they did not do a retread. I have steered completely clear of the Coming to America sequel.
Same.
Because that's probably one of my favorite comedies of all time.
It is my favorite comedy of all time.
And,
yeah.
Okay. And I don't want to ruin it. I don't want to ruin it. And I've seen the trailers. I know exactly what they're going to do during that movie. And I just want to pretend like it doesn't exist. So I was super glad that they acknowledged that there was a sequel. This mm-hmm. was kind of a sequel. Mm-hmm. This, like, the events happened in Space Jam before this movie, but they didn't just keep treading on it over and over again.
Right.
Yeah. I think one of the cool things that they did was, so look, we're going to talk a lot about different things and like scenes and stuff we like from this film. So I guess I can't really say spoiler alert because one, this is going up on Friday. You've had 7 days. Two, you can watch it at your house. So if you
haven't seen A New Legacy, is it time to turn back if you're listening to this?
Yeah, if you haven't seen it yet, okay. this is probably the point. But they have like the meeting where like they're showing like the Warner Brother films and like they're showing him like in the different universes. You actually see the Space Jam cover in the original film.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, there's like little like funny like jokes in there when like Bugs is like, so wait, I have to play like high stakes basketball game with an NBA superstar. That sounds awfully familiar. Like right. little things like that I really appreciated. But the one thing I think they finally got that they totally got right from the jump that the Michael Jordan Space Jam didn't get in is they like didn't shy away from the fact that LeBron James is rich. They were like, yeah, look at this house with this giant basketball court. He sure, doesn't live yes. in this gated community when random people are driving down the street honking their horn saying hi to Michael. Like they were like, no, he's rich and he lives on a giant mountain in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I agree with you on that. I always thought that the, you know, Michael Jordan, you know, pulling up next to his house in his sports car and kind of, you know, waving to the kids riding their bikes mm-hmm. just seemed extremely not realistic at all. And he lived in just a very modest home. Just
like, I get he was modest, playing minor league baseball, but Jesus.
He's making that Barron's money.
I mean, it's a very nice upper middle class home, but like they really kind of play down the money aspect that mm-hmm. Michael Jordan has when he's legitimately the richest athlete in the world still.
It was like Michael Jordan Rocky V when he like loses all of his funds. And
it's just crazy, right? Because like it's if you're comparing Chicago houses, the McAllisters and Home Alone had better property than Michael Jordan.
Absolutely. You know? And then this movie has been, there was an original idea for this film years ago and it was canceled. And after they decided not to do the original Space Jam 2 idea, they wanted to do a spy film called Spy Jam with Jackie Chan. He leaves the project and that evolved into Looney Tunes back in action, which I believe Alex watched today. So I have a lot of questions about that because in my opinion, that's probably really the true Space Jam sequel was Back in Action.
Spiritual successor, but yeah.
Spiritual successor. Okay. We'll go with that. That's fine. This movie came out. We finally have it and let's dive into the plot. Let's go for it. Tim, you saw this movie twice already. That is 4 hours of your life you'll never get back. So you had plenty of time to analyze everything shot for shot. Mm-hmm. And I need a breakdown of everything at this very moment. Go ahead.
Yeah. So I guess the idea of it is, first off, I really liked the opening like credits. I thought that was really cool how they did it. Just like the LeBron version of the Michael Jordan just didn't have the cool Welcome to the Space Jam song.
Sure.
Thought that was really neat. But yeah, the idea of it is more or less that LeBron is the dad that's too hard on his kid because the way he was brought up was like work, 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 work. And so now his kid is like, I don't want to be a basketball player. I want to design video games. And he designs a really cool video game, which we later find out is Basketball Tron. More or less
100%
in the 45 minute sequence that is the basketball game in the final act. He gets Don Cheadle plays Al G. Rhythm. They thought long and hard about that character name. And Don Cheadle wasn't bad necessarily as a villain. You know, he was working with what he had.
Yeah. I love Don Cheadle.
Same. Yeah. Same.
I'm confused about his appearance in this, but go ahead.
Yes. but you know, the idea is more or less that they're trying to get LeBron James to be a part of Warner Brothers, and they're going to scan him in every movie. He doesn't have to act in every film.
Real quick, sorry to interrupt you, but can we talk about the irony and the fact that later on he is scanned in every single movie?
Yes.
Like, they kind of like, there was that, and that was like the part of me, like before we started recording, I was thinking about it, and I was just like, the fact that like, in this weird way, Algae Rhythm gets his wish through Space Jam: A New Legacy. There's some weird like meta contextualism that I don't know if it was intentional or not, but like, I don't know. There was something I really did kind of like about that, where he's like, what about LeBron in Game of Thrones? And you literally see that like 30 yeah. minutes later, right? Like, it's just, I don't know. I thought that was kind of an interesting, like weird meta thing with it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was cool. I did like that, especially like some of the little funny jokes in there when he's like, oh, is that Harry Potter role? And he's like, Hufflepuff, I knew it. You know, right. Like that was funny. Little jokes like that. And then, you know, obviously the first big thing they do is when he goes to Toon Land is that him and Bugs try to get the Looney Tunes back together. They were all sent to different parts of the Warner Brothers universe.
Their server.
Yeah, the serververse is what they call it.
Serververse.
Yes. Right, the cloud yes. for your cloud.
Yes. So yeah, so LeBron basically like in Bugs Bunny go and recruit the Looney Tunes. When LeBron thinks he's recruiting Superman and the Iron Giant and King Kong, he's getting the Looney Tunes, which does lead to a lot of fun stuff. Like Alex mentioned, the fact he kind of goes into a bunch of different movies. You see him going into Casablanca and The Matrix. And
the Mad Max one was the best.
That was the best. Yes,
that was the best one.
Yep.
He goes into Mad Max, and then he goes into they find Lola Bunny and Wonder Woman when she's being like a goddess in a glamazon, you know, an Amazon woman and stuff yeah. like that. So it was fun. That was like really a great part. And then the best, obviously, everyone, the one that everyone's talking about is the DC scene when he's Robin, which is just a funny joke because everyone always tried to say LeBron was Scottie Pippen to Dwayne Wade's Michael Jordan in Miami. So I thought that was a good like thing where LeBron was like, I get it.
I don't think anyone believes that anymore though. So
no, they right. don't.
So I think that was,
he's more of the Green Lantern.
Yeah, of course. Of course. one thing we left out, the opening, you know, we got the loose plot there, but the opening scene is a flashback to the year 1998. Okay. And I have a couple problems with this.
I bet I know what they are.
One.
So, in 1998, that's 2 years after the original Space Jam. I was in the eighth grade. LeBron is a year and a half younger than me. He's either in the sixth or seventh grade. I remember 1998 like it was yesterday. And I have to ask, who the hell was playing an OG Game Boy in 1998?
You know, you don't know everybody's life. You don't know what they have.
Guys,
the kid said, he goes, I just got the new Game Boy Color. Yeah. And then he handed LeBron the OG Game Boy. LeBron turned it on and the game behind him was Game Boy Color graphics. And that's where I have a problem.
That was the next thing I was going to mention. I just had to bring it up. The whole thing just seemed kind of funny to me. Cause I mean, like, I feel like if you would have just pulled that brick out of your backpack in 1998, everyone would have just been like, dude, what are you, put that away, what are you doing, there's better things here, don't you have a, like, even the Game Gear was a,
I was gonna say, did he hand him a Game Gear with like the big lens magnifier on it?
way cooler portable gaming system, period.
Burning through 8 AA batteries every 20 minutes.
burning them, exactly. Major problem with that, but I feel like every movie I watch these days never really gets the era down anymore. Like, they just, there's just like, oh, it's 1998. How do we know it's 1998? Oh, just believe us, trust us, it's 1998. There's an old Game Boy.
There's just some carnival barker at the corner of a street going, Woodstock next year, and you're like, there it is. I can place it now.
I have such a problem with movies now that do that. I feel like Stranger Things was really like the last thing that like really was,
you know, I would say Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I think Tarantino nailed that.
Okay, I agree with you on that one. You know, because Lena Dunham does seem like someone who would probably be part of the Manson family.
Mm-hmm.
So I get that. Let's get further into it. So the Looney Tunes are recruited to play this basketball game.
Hold on. We're like totally like, you're totally skipping the whole idea of like his son like got captured in the thing.
Sure.
And being gaslit by Don Cheadle.
So they get sucked into the server. LeBron gets sucked into the server universe here. Mm-hmm. And then his child also gets sucked in as well. Which brings us down a plot point that me and Alex will talk about in a little while. That's totally ripped off one of our favorite family films of the 90s.
Here's what I kind of wonder. So obviously they casted his children, like they casted people to be his children. They didn't cast his actual family.
Sure.
If name, image, likeness is out at this point, do you think they actually have his family in the movie? Now that they have NIL, where amateur athletes can make funds off their likeness.
I don't think so. Nah. I think it's still Dom. You know, I think they roll with that. I mean, it was the same thing with Michael Jordan. You know, when I was growing up, when I first saw that, I initially thought that was Michael Jordan's wife and children. Like that, I didn't even question that in 1997. I was like, whatever. You know, maybe. Now I'm like, well, yeah, that seems silly. Why would he bring them in? So, so let's talk about this server verse a little bit, which. Jesus Christ.
It's a name, man.
It's a name. So this was a big excuse to bring in all of the properties that Warner Brothers owns right now. It's like Alex said, Wreck-It Ralph did it. I feel almost like kind of the classiest way possible. Mm-hmm. They were kind of the OG film that kind of really went down that route of bringing in other properties besides maybe Roger Rabbit back in 88.
And like, I was because like going back to the original Space Jam, they kind of do that too with like they make like the more references to like the times or whatever, but to go back to Back in Action, they handle it really well as well. There's a lot of Warner crossover in there too, but sorry, go ahead.
So there's a lot of crossover with this server verse. Also Ready Player One was another movie that came out recently which really went into it.
Mm-hmm.
But with this movie, there is so much thrown at you in 2 hours. Just, I mean, just character after Easter egg after character. It's really wild how many things they got in there. And I wonder if I was able to, you know, in 2021, drag this back to the past and show it to myself in the year 1997 or 1996. How messed up I would think this movie is, like just like how weird this sequel is, with this basketball game with all of these weird properties together, and let's kind of talk a little bit about some of the fun things that we saw. So during the main basketball part of this film, which is the last act of the film, which you said, Tim, is 45 minutes of basketball play. Okay.
Yep,
it felt like a full hour and a half to me, but I'll take your word for it. I was like, God, I could just watch an NBA game in this time.
No, you can't.
So I know the last
that's the last
minutes
3 minutes of an NBA game. Right.
I know. My wife will tell you that.
Mine too.
There's
yeah.
3 minutes left. You mean 45? Get out.
Yeah, so after they get everyone together, they have the game. Well, first off, they bring the tunes up to like current state, which I kind of weirdly dug in a non-Zootopia kind of way.
I thought it was all right. Like
yeah
didn't have a problem with it.
Yeah, so I thought that was cool. I thought the fact that they were like, we actually like thought about these uniforms, we didn't just make some bland white jersey and put a circle on it, like was kind of nice. Yeah. Yeah. I appreciate that they actually like put some time into the costume design for the jerseys. But yeah, so your point being that after they go to all the different universes, they go to, you know, DC and all this, when the game starts, they bring in all the Warner Brothers characters. And that was cool. Like you kind of said, like, I feel like that my wife said, she's like, I feel like they just shamelessly plugged everything Warner Brothers has done. I said, yes, that's 100% what they did.
Oh my God. Yeah.
But that was cool though, because to an extent, so if you like look in the audience through the game, and like my nephews, I took them to see it, and seeing their reaction to like, oh my God, that's Batman and Robin. And like, oh my God, there's, you know, Voldemort just in the front row and like stuff like that was kind of cool. But you know, and it kind of got to the point where like Alex kind of said, where it's like, and you know, in passing where it's like, yeah, it's really cool. But also at times it's extremely distracting from the movie. Cause you're like, who else has been there?
Yeah, the entire time that this game is going on, I am just I'm no longer paying attention to whatever the plot is at this point, and I'm just trying to pick out what is in the background, piece by piece. What besides Voldemort? Besides Voldemort, who did you think was kind of the craziest property that you saw, Tim? In the background of this.
So I have this lead to my funny story I've been waiting to tell you guys.
Unload it.
My mom's birthday was Saturday, and she, you know, being a lady in her late 50s, thought it'd be a great idea to go to Cracker Barrel. She's just, you know, she's got everything but her AARP card.
You know what? I went there last week too. So
yeah,
I'm good with that.
So we get this, like, I'm like talking to my sister and my brother-in-law about it. My wife's sitting right next to me, and like, you know, I'm like, we're making the plans for me to take my nephews to see it for the cheaper movie night here. And I'm like kind of going telling them about the movie. I'm like, yeah, I'm like, this is in there. I'm like, and Jack Nicholson's Joker's in the movie too. And I'm like thinking, like, they're like, oh yeah, that's cool. So I guess, like, because we're in the corner of the restaurant where, like, you have that one random table right next to the country shop. Mm-hmm. So this like worker, I guess, is like, overhears me talking about it and doesn't like acknowledge his presence, not like, hey, how's your food, can I get you anything, just literally walks up, stands right by like where my wife is sitting, and goes, there's only one Joker and his name is Mark Hamill.
Oh, that's like one of our old GameStop stories right there.
Oh my
that's
God.
And our whole table just gets quiet.
Yeah. That's all you can do.
Yeah. So like my wife just like looks at me like, that was, I was like, yeah, that was really weird.
Oh, that's yeah. You love the Batman the Animated Series Stan, who's just like, he's the only one, guys.
Yeah, he just like, he can tell that like I'm uncomfortable with the fact that he like interrupted like my family conversation. He goes, but Jack Nicholson was pretty good too.
How old is this gentleman? I'm just curious.
He had to have been like early 20s, you know, or a teenager, yeah, or something.
Wow. Like,
I'm transcending the generations.
I'm actually more impressed by this story now that it's right? Not just some weird like 55-year-old guy who lives in his mom's basement.
It's not like comic book man from The Simpsons working at Cracker Barrel.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. See, that was where I was getting that. But the fact that you're telling me it's a guy in his early 20s, I'm a little bit more impressed now.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But the fact they had like, they had that Joker, they had the Joker, you know, that was the movie that just came out that I think I'm the only person that finds to be overrated, but that's neither here nor there.
Dude, I'm right there with you.
Oh my God.
It's overrated.
Two stars.
Yeah. I know like my nephew's like really getting into horror films like you guys are. And so he was like, did you see Pennywise was there? And I was like, yeah, that was pretty cool. You know, different things like that. But like also like the little like ones you can see in the corner. So in the half, when they come out of the thing for halftime and you see the Animaniacs sitting on the top of the ship, like I thought that mm-hmm. was neat. So yeah, there were there's a bunch of different ones where you're like, oh wow, yeah, that's there. Like,
and like from that standpoint, I feel like it encourages rewatches, but that's the wrong reason.
Yeah.
From like the movie's perspective, you know.
Yeah, they did basically everything but bring like Daniel Radcliffe in to be like, what's up, guys? What's up? I'm Harry Potter.
So Alex, what did you notice in the background of this film, the Easter eggs that stuck out to you?
I will never forget sitting in the seat looking up at the movie and going, I forget what actually happened in the movie, but I was like, that was cool. Fuck, is that Jabberjaw?
Mm-hmm.
My gosh, look at that. And then I was like, hey, look. And I was like, is that Danny DeVito's penguin? Is that Burgess Meredith's penguin? Two penguins. And like, it was kind of at that point where I was like, maybe this is too much. Then the nun from The Nun, who had courtside mm-hmm. seats. Just a lot of it, you saw the Flintstones, you could see Dino kind of in the background too. Yogi Bear made a brief appearance. It was a lot of I liked the ones kind of away from the game. I liked how when they're chasing the train and the train goes by a Metropolis, you see Commissioner Gordon and Clark, you see Clark Kent, not quite Superman, but
and the actual train itself, you see Lois Lane, and
and then like I want to go back to the montage of the gathering the team, right? Because like I thought those were paired together really well with like Wiley and Roadrunner with Mad Max, but Tasmanian Devil with Rick and Morty. Like even as not a, the biggest Rick and Morty fan, like, and that was one of those where I was like, okay, that's good. Like, that is a good, like, to weasel them into a kids movie also, I thought was pretty funny. But, like, as a whole, the longer it got on, the longer that all went on, like, the crowd, and, like, you started seeing them, like, over and over again, like, weird, like, Mr. Freeze from Batman and Robin that looks like the Night King from Game of Thrones. There was the Groogs from Clockwork Orange that I thought was just like, that's perfect for here, the kids movie that we're watching. But like to an extent, the longer it goes, you kind of like, I started noticing that they were almost like repeating animations like a video game crowd in a way too, where like they were kind of like like doing the same thing over and over. And the longer that went on, the more I started seeing the same people kind of pushed up front. There's a way to do that stuff correctly, I feel like. And I think this took it to an extent of being tacky.
Yeah, I can see that. And that makes a lot of sense. But, you know, I thought so, like, I didn't think about that with like it just basically just being like the WWE 2K crowd that everyone holds up a sign at the same time and sits down at the same time.
And part of me found that really endearing up front, where I was just like, oh, because it's a video game, so that makes sense. But then I'm just like, oh, I am really getting tired of looking at these people.
Yeah.
Like if they were nondescript bodies, whatever, but like for it to be like those licenses over and over and over again.
Yeah. Like, you know, you mentioned earlier, like seeing like Danny DeVito's Penguin. I thought the fact that they got like the Michael Keaton era Batman villains and they're like, you see Michelle Pfeiffer's Catwoman, like obviously like
Burt Ward Robin.
Yeah. Sean and I exchanged text message probably twice a week about how excited we are for this Flashpoint movie to see Keaton as Batman again. So having those things is like, yeah. You know, like it's right up my alley. But yeah, also like some of the things where you're like, all right, we get it. King Kong's there. And you're like, okay, whatever. Like,
sure. Well, I mean, King Kong's a big property right now. So
right.
I'm totally cool. That was completely expected for them to do it. So one thing I'm gonna roll back to, Alex.
Mm-hmm.
You said that the nun in the movie from The Nun, the nun in Space Jam 2 or Space Jam: A New Legacy, is not the nun from The Nun.
It's not the nun from The Nun.
It is not the nun from The Nun. It is actually the nun from a 1971 horror film that was rated X called The Devils.
Oh.
Yes.
Duh, Alex, didn't you know?
I get my movie nuns confused.
And I will be completely honest with you. I was completely unaware of this film's existence until about 6 months ago when it showed up on Shudder, and it hadn't been like on any streaming services prior. And the trailer alone, I really want to sit back and watch it. It looks crazy. Absolutely nuts. But I mean, it looks like it lived up to its X-rated rating back then. But to see that was the nun, because everybody assumed, like you, Alex, that it was the nun. I've never seen The Nun before. I've never seen it. But if you look at the outfit that she's wearing, it is the outfit from the 1971 British horror film The Devils, which is just so random to me. Random and obscure. And everyone's like, you know, oh, you know, you got the guys from Clockwork Orange in there. I'm like, yeah. But
sure,
this is even weirder.
I don't disagree.
So that blew my mind, because as soon as I saw it, I was like, I don't know. I was like, is this the nun from The Nun? And then I'm like, and then I found out, no, I'm like, oh my God, it's not. So, so fun. There's my first fun fact. Of
nun
the day.
Fact.
I'll have more later, but,
nun facts or fun facts?
Not, maybe both. Who knows?
Okay.
If they're musical, are they sister facts?
And that is
this why is why we haven't done a podcast in so long.
So kind of going back a little bit, talking a little bit about the legacy of the animated film mixed with the live action film, we kind of go back to Roger Rabbit. It's kind of like the main film that kind of started this whole trend back in 88. There was another, and also the whole bringing characters together was something that was kind of uncommon until then. But back in the year 1990, there was a animated drug abuse prevention television special that aired on, I think, four or five American networks at the same time. And it was called Cartoon All-Stars to the Rescue. And it's Winnie the Pooh, Muppet Babies, Alvin the Chipmunks, Looney Tunes character, Slimer, Alf, like everyone you could think of. Huey, Dewey, and Louie were in it. Any kind of character at the time that was on a Saturday morning cartoon was shoved into this special about this kid who decided to use marijuana and it ruins his life.
Certainly.
And I thought a lot about that dumb half hour cartoon while I was watching this, because it was just pushing so many characters together just to push them together. It wasn't even in the cartoon special, the cartoon All Stars to the Rescue, there were some characters that didn't even get lines, you know? So, you know, I think Slimer just ran around and was like, you know?
Yeah. So for some reason, it seems like the one that when you talk to people about it, the one that people remember the most is like the fact that Jim Carrey's The Mask was in the crowd.
I did see that too. And I did a second glance at that and I was like, okay. All right. Cool. I get it. Later on, obviously, we had the original Space Jam that kind of brought this out. And then Looney Tunes Back in Action, the sequel. Now, Alex, you watched this today.
Yes.
Is there any throwback to Space Jam at all in this film at all? There's nothing. There's nothing acknowledging past events.
Mm-mm.
It's just and what is it about?
Daffy quits and decides that like he doesn't want to do this anymore. He doesn't want to be the butt of everyone's joke, and so he is subsequently fired as well. So it's kind of a you can't fire me, I quit kind of thing.
Okay.
So
Dave Chappelle.
Teams up with Brendan Fraser's character who is Brendan Fraser's stuntman in The Mummy.
Oh okay. He was coming off The Mummy, sure.
Yeah, Jenna Elfman is the WB board executive who has to go get Daffy back because she's blamed for their crumbling, like they're not doing well because Daffy's gone and like the cartoons don't make sense anymore without him.
Okay.
And so she has to go, she pairs up with Bugs to go get Daffy back, who's paired with Brendan Fraser, whose dad in the movie is Timothy Dalton in a loosely adapted James Bond kind of secret spy role, but he's actually a spy. He's a spy playing an actor playing a spy is Timothy Dalton. And so they're trying to get this rare jewel back from save it from getting in the hands of the Acme Corporation, who's being head up by Steve Martin.
Oh, Steve Martin's in this.
Yes. So okay. This is to equate. I did like it better than probably either Space Jam movie just because it's more my speed, but it's everything good about Who Framed Roger Rabbit and everything bad about the Rocky and Bullwinkle movie that came out in the early 2000s.
I forgot about that.
Yeah. Inside of one movie. So okay. It really, yeah, it's just very average, but it's okay.
Okay.
Yeah, but no Space Jam callbacks. The only thing was the thing I told you about where like Space Jam 2 initially was also pitched at some point to be a NASCAR movie with Jeff Gordon.
Yes.
And it eventually became Back in Action and Jeff Gordon has a brief cameo and the DuPont car is featured in a car chase.
Oh, okay. That's
pretty much what gets boiled down to there.
Very interesting. I had to get some background from you today because I was curious. That was one of those movies I never watched.
Sure.
Sent me some screenshots today. One of our favorite characters of all time.
In romance.
Roman from Robot Monster was featured in it. And
he has lines.
He has lines.
It's literally cut from the movie.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Maybe I should check it out. So that's kind of the line of this sort of film, you know, looking back at it. And stacking up. So looking back at the original movie, you had Danny DeVito as the villain. Don Cheadle somehow, some way agreed to be in this thing. And how did we feel about him? Do we think he was a better villain than Danny DeVito was in the original Space Jam?
I honestly do. Obviously one of that is like, I think he's like an extremely better actor. I know he didn't have to range much to do this film.
Okay.
But I feel like Don Cheadle kind of, you know, the fact of like, you know, Schwackhammer was just kind of like smoking a cigar and didn't know anything about basketball. And all of a sudden was like, we got all these guys, players were like, Don Cheadle's like, I did all these studying on LeBron James. And like some of his little jokes in there when he's like, his kid's like, I get it. He's one of the greatest of all time. He's like, well, the jury's still out on that one. And like, when he's like, your dad just left. He's like, my dad just left. He's like, yeah, it's kind of his MO. Like just little things like that. I was like, okay, that's pretty funny.
The jokes at LeBron's expense were good.
Yes,
I agree with you on that 100%.
Yeah. But I thought like, I thought Cheadle was fine. I thought he was definitely a better villain than Schwackhammer. Cause I mean, I like the idea more of like the fact that they, instead of like stealing the NBA players' talents, they modded them in a video game. I think that's more like movie-like than aliens randomly sit next to the wife from Everybody Loves Raymond and steal Charles Barkley's skills.
Yes. Patricia. I forget what her last name is. Forgive me. She makes a small cameo in that, which is very strange. I think, and that was maybe the same year that Everybody Loves Raymond came out. So she had just kind of started in 96. So that's an interesting one. So let's talk about the talent from the original movie. The people that we had in that, we had Larry Johnson. We had Sean Bradley. We had Muggsy Bogues. We had Charles Barkley. Who am I missing?
Patrick Ewing.
And Patrick Ewing. So you had those five. This film, we had Anthony Davis, Damian Lillard, and help me with the other ones, guys.
Diana Taurasi.
Diana Taurasi.
Klay Thompson.
I can't think of who the spider was.
Yeah, I can't either.
Oh, dear.
Oh, man, we're not on our game today.
No, we're not.
Who played the spider?
Who played the spider in Space Jam 2? Oh, geez.
Nanika.
Aguamike?
Her sister's in the WNBA also.
Okay. All right. I'm not a huge WNBA buff, so I apologize if I butchered that name. But so they all appear. There was a, you know, LeBron threw some shade at the brow. Finally. Which I thought was kind of funny. But he got some big guys for this movie, as opposed to, you know, Sean Bradley, you know, from the original one. Giannis actually turned down a role in this film a little while ago. And
that worked out.
Worked out very well for a gentleman who, congratulations, guys. Bucks won the title yesterday, by the way. So congratulations to Giannis and the Suns and the Bucks. All of them. I want to give the Suns credit too.
They were awesome.
Everybody was a great NBA Finals. We finally got one. So
we did it, everybody.
We did it, everyone. That Raptors one just really rubbed me wrong. I'm just such an anti-Raptors fan. It shows. I just need to be more.
You got to be more pro Raptor.
Yeah. You can't be like
addictive towards that team. I hate the Toronto Raptors so much.
Do you hate like the Blue Jays? Is it like an anti-Canada thing?
Actually, I do hate the Blue Jays because my boy Ricky Henderson left the Oakland A's and then he went to go and win a title with them. So I don't like them either. It's in my mind, it's just like Kawhi Leonard leaving the Spurs and then going to Toronto to win a title. So yeah, it's the exact same thing to me.
Oh, interesting.
So
very interesting.
Yeah, wasn't a fan of that either. So so the game goes on. We'll kind of wrap up the plot here. Shockingly, LeBron doesn't have a whole lot of points in this movie, which has been brought out by everyone in the media, including Skip Bayless, I believe. I believe that LeBron scores 8 points in this game.
That breaks his streak.
Breaks the streak.
Double-digit streak.
Which was kind of ridiculous a little bit. I just kept waiting for some really stupid cameo by, or like even just like a crappy Wayne Knight throwback. I didn't want to see any of that because I love Wayne Knight, but he's not relevant anymore.
Sure.
So I was really happy that they didn't do that, but they did. Probably the best in joke of the entire film was Michael Jordan was unveiled as coming to save the team, and it's Michael B. Jordan.
Yeah.
My nephew's reaction when like they're like I found Sylvester's like I got Michael Jordan, and just seeing his face, like just like you'll spend like that kid moment of like
yeah.
You know, like just like was like, okay, this movie's worth seeing. Like just sure. having that moment where he's
I knew
like,
and I knew as soon as they said that I was gonna get for sure. burned.
Yeah.
Like there was for just sure. no way. There was just no way.
I made a mistake. There is a very slight nod to Space Jam and Looney Tunes Back in Action.
Oh.
Yeah, what you guys said reminded me. At one point, Steve Martin's like, I'm not who I say I am, and unzips himself and he's Michael Jordan.
Oh.
And we're like with the basketball, he's like, come on, guys, we got to hustle. And then he unzips himself again, and I think he's Steve Martin again.
Okay. But, okay, yeah. So there was a little bit of a nod. Okay, I'll take
for a minute, yeah.
For seconds.
But that was the funny thing, too, because they're like, how did you get them mixed up? And Sylvester's like, well, it's been like 25 years.
Years.
He aged well.
I thought he aged gracefully.
And I felt like that was the one thing that I really liked. That was the best line, best way to kind of, mm-hmm. you know, acknowledge a sequel without just hammering it back in your face the whole mm-hmm. time. So I will say that I will give them some serious credit for not doing that, because I was severely afraid they were going to do that the entire movie. So shocker, the Looney Tunes win this game.
Mm-hmm. And Bugs dies and transcends into the heaven.
Yes, so they do kill. They kill off Bugs Bunny in this movie. He is.
Am I wrong, Tim?
No.
You laugh, but am I wrong?
No.
But he's at the end of the film. We find out. So at the end of the movie, LeBron kind of makes up with his son. He kind of acknowledges that his son, you know, maybe doesn't want to be a basketball player, which it's kind of funny. But then he also kind of wants to play basketball because his dad, I'll take the ball with me, you know. So they kind of make up. And then randomly out of nowhere outside of the building that they're in, Bugs Bunny shows back up in the real world. He has transcended the server verse to the real world, and he is there, and he says he's going to bring all of his friends over to his house, I believe. Mm-hmm. And that's how the movie ends.
Yeah, no after credit scenes.
Right.
Okay. Did I freeze?
Yeah, you froze for a second. Yeah. You're good.
Oh, okay. So there's no after credit scenes in this film.
Right.
Okay. All right. I just turned it off. I was like, 1 hour and 58 minutes is enough. I'm out. We'll talk about it. So there's that. So do we want to hear some fun facts?
Yes.
About Space Jam, A New Legacy.
Sure. Okay.
All right. So there was also, so we talked about other like unmade Space Jam sequels. We talked about the one that was going to include Jackie Chan. Alex mentioned the one that was going to star Jeff Gordon. There was also going to be one in 2003, a movie called Skate Jam was planned, and it was supposed to be a movie starring Tony Hawk.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Sure. Seems a little easy, doesn't it?
Yeah. It, sure.
That was like right around
a whole movie out of that.
Was that THPS2? So that would be like around
two,
there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
2-3, yeah.
All right. A couple other fun facts in this movie. Obviously, we talked already about all of the, you know, the little Easter eggs, so I'm not gonna blow all those up. Kath Suchi, who was the original Lola Bunny, recorded the dialogue for Lola Bunny for this film. But she was replaced by Zendaya late in post-production.
Huh.
I thought that was kind of odd.
That was interesting.
Yeah. I guess they just had to get another good name in there at the time.
Right.
So this was the first Looney Tunes full-length theatrical film to not have June Foray, who voiced Granny. She died 4 years ago. I believe she was 98 or 99.
Wow.
So this was the first film without her playing Granny. So that was pretty impressive. Was voiced by Billy West in Space Jam.
Okay.
And I've always been a fan of Billy West's Bugs Bunny. I thought he was just great.
Yeah.
However, this particular film, they ended up bringing back Jeff Bergman. And Jeff Bergman's first Bugs Bunny cartoon was Cartoon All-Stars to the Rescue. That dumb thing where the kid smoked the marijuana. So that was his very first, you know, cartoon voice work that he did with Looney Tunes portraying Bugs Bunny. And he is back as Bugs in this film. And to me, for
some reason, he's on the HBO cartoons too.
He is on the HBO cartoons. Yes, he is. So, yeah, for some reason, Billy West is kind of out with them at the moment. However, Bob Bergman is the only original actor that came back to do a character, and he did Tweety Bird. So that was the only other one that was from, you know, from the original.
Sure.
That I thought was kind of crazy. So
yeah,
Justin Lin was originally supposed to direct this movie. He left this movie to direct Fast 9 and Fast 10.
Oh, well, he would have lost either way, apparently.
Yeah.
He what?
He would have lost either way, apparently, according to what people are telling about Fast 9.
Yes, yes. So, LeBron sustained an injury during production, possibly due to the filmmaker's 14-hour-a-day shooting schedule.
Oh, my God.
That's really a long day.
Yeah.
That is a long day to go out there. So we've heard, you know, stories of Michael Jordan's legendary practices, but LeBron was out there acting on a green screen for 14 hours. So that's tough work. Like we talked about it earlier, Looney Tunes Back in Action was actually the last Looney Tunes theatrical film. It was released 18 years ago. So that was a while back now. So this was kind of their first movie getting back in Looney Tunes back into the theaters. And I have a feeling it's probably going to be the last one for a long while. one other, we're just going to keep going down here. A couple other ones that I found to be a little bit interesting. I'm just trying to. So Cartoon Network, DC Comics, and Warner Brothers promoted A New Legacy with Teen Titans See Space Jam, which yes. came out almost prior to this thing, which I did not know was a thing. So I'm either. So out of the loop with I think children's programming and things of that nature that, you know, I would never know anything like that. So that's kind of cool that they were using that to promote this film. The original Space Jam had a prologue set in 1973.
Wow.
And going back to that, that's another part that they didn't really set up 1973 very well in my mind either.
No.
So this one is set in 1998, also 23 years before its release. I thought that was pretty cool.
That is.
Exactly 23 years behind. So, and I'm going to give you one more, and then I am done with my fun facts here. With a runtime of 2 hours, this is the longest Looney Tunes feature film ever.
Felt like it.
It felt all 2 hours of this movie. So, if we were going to go through and rate this movie, you know, if we're going to go on a star system now. Alex is a big Letterboxd guy. If you're familiar with the app, he has an amazing Letterboxd account. He has watched so many movies in the last year. It's almost shameful.
Thanks, pandemic.
I'll say you got me into Letterboxd, and my only two people that followed me are you two.
Yes. I don't know anybody else on it. So that's all we need. Alex is very great about you know, logging everything he's seen in that. So Letterboxd has a 5-star system. I was more of a 4-star kind of movie, you know, system before, but we'll go with the 5-star since Alex is here. If you were going to give this film an honest rating,
mm-hmm.
What did you give this on Letterboxd, Alex?
2 stars.
You gave it 2 out of 5.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Tim?
I was 2.5.
2.5. I believe I also did 2 stars. So we're all kind of on the same page right here with where the film is. We agree that it's not as good as the original. Would you say that? Okay. But you would say Back in Action is better than both.
It's more my speed.
It's more your speed. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I still think LeBron's a significantly better actor than Michael Jordan.
100%. 100%. Yes. I will say this though. I think that I feel like Michael Jordan's acting ability in the original movie, I feel like they fed him the lines that moved the script along without him coming off as not a great actor. Like, I don't really sit there and go, oh, he's terrible in this. I mean, LeBron is a much better actor. I mean, Trainwreck, LeBron's role in Trainwreck is legendary. It's probably one of the funniest cameo appearances of, or co-starring appearances of any movie of the 2000s. It's just 2010s, I think. Has it been that long?
Yeah, it was. It was like right around when the Cavs won the title.
Okay, yeah. So, you know, he was so great in that, and I think after everybody saw him in that, everyone's like, "Oh man, this guy can really act." But I don't feel like they gave him really great stuff to work with in this movie.
They made him totally unlikable.
They did.
They made him like
the overbearing father.
This was the question I asked when we left him. I was just like, "Who was the hero in this story?" Because like, it's not LeBron. Like, because even if you look at it from like a redemption angle, like it comes way too late. It's literally like a last resort. He's like, maybe I should have fun. Then you have like Bugs, who, and this was my biggest complaint, is I felt like I was watching two separate movies at times, because like he gets to Warner World or whatever, and Bugs is like, everybody has left me here. He's clearly going insane. Like Bugs is like, he's like doing these weird like barber stuff, setting up dates, like, you know, all of the stuff that, you know, he normally does, because he doesn't have anybody to do it with. He's doing it with LeBron, and then he's using LeBron to go and try and recruit his friends back. Like LeBron's like, I want Superman, I want Iron Giant, I want, and Bugs is like, and like, for me, it's a thing where if Bugs said something like, we did this 25 years ago, like, you don't have to worry, but you're not going to need those guys, we've got this, or something like that, it makes more sense. But like, to me at least, but like, to see Bugs, who is, yes, kind of an underhanded character in his own self, but like, it felt like, I said, like, it was like two separate movies, because like, I would watch the movie where Bugs has to go on an adventure through all of the Warner movies to try and find his friends. And I would watch the movie where LeBron James has to play Don Cheadle in basketball. But like, when it comes together, it doesn't come together.
also, going back, we talked about this, the whole subplot of Don Cheadle kind of becoming, kind of trying to like throw shade at LeBron for not being there for him. And
he's manipulating a child.
He's manipulating a child very much the same way that one Dustin Hoffman as Captain Hook did.
Yes.
To Robin Williams' child in Hook. And the plot similarities right there with that movie and Space Jam, another Warner Brothers, no, that's a Paramount film, never mind. It's uncanny. Like, I don't know any other movie that's like that besides Hook.
Right. I mean, sure there are several, but like, yeah, like, as for, like, in, off recent memory or like off the top of my head, yeah, like
it kind of delves into that a little bit, and I wonder if that was like the writers were like, we're gonna go down the Hook route, or nobody noticed that at all.
I swear to God, at some point, someone like asked a question about the plot of this movie where they're like, hey, like, should we do this or this? I swear to you, somebody in a boardroom had to have gone, who cares? It's gonna make money. Because like, that's how it started to feel. Like, the longer it went on, the less I feel like effort was put into it. And like, it just kind of became this thing where it's just like, oh, this is just not an ad. I don't feel like it really hit like ad level.
Yeah, it wasn't the first movie where it's like, buy my shoes.
No, but it was very much like, the brothers Warner were just beating me over the head with like, did you know we have Game of Thrones? Did you know we have Harry Potter? Did you know we have the X-rated film The Devils? It's to me just became so problematic. And this was a point I wanted to make, because this is the point I keep making about this movie, is like, everyone keeps making the excuse that it's a kid's movie, and that's like, I don't mind people saying they like this movie. That's fine. That's how it works. It's opinions. But like,
yeah,
for people to be like, no, it's a kid's movie, you're rating it too hard. It's like, no, because we're in a great era of great kids movies.
We are
right now. Like, there are so many things that it's not just co-opted by Disney and Pixar. Like, I was going to say Warner has some, but I feel like someone was going to ask what, and I wasn't going to have an answer fast enough.
I was just about to be like, what are you talking about? Tell me one.
Yeah.
Just name
like,
one. Just name one.
Right. No, but like, there's so many other ones, like, you know, across the world, are they just like much better productions. And my issue too is like, oh, like, well, Space Jam's bad. It's like, yes, but Space Jam makes sense. Like, original Space Jam makes sense if you break the connective tissue of the plot, right? And this is something, Tim, I know you've already heard me go on this tirade, but like, Moron Mountain gets introduced. They're a struggling place that needs attractions. So the boss, Swaghammer, is like, go get me the Looney Tunes. So they go to capture the Looney Tunes. The Looney Tunes use their, you know, cunning and guile to be like, you have to let us defend ourselves, and you're diminutive and small, so we're going to challenge you to basketball. They're like, what's basketball? They learn what basketball is. They steal the powers of basketball players. They come back. The Looney Tunes are like, oh, we are screwed. Like, this is the end of us. We need help. So they get at a crossroad, career crossroads, Michael Jordan, who has left the sport, but like is still focusing on baseball. And like from there, I think it introduced all of the characters really well, introduced the motivations, introduced exactly what's supposed to happen, who's trying to seek after what. And it all makes sense. With Space Jam, A New Legacy, it's Sarah Silverman as a Warner exec going, the robot made the idea for us. Do you want to listen to the robot's idea? And LeBron is like, I don't want to hear the idea. And Don Cheadle's like, well, I'm going to steal you and your son by luring you into a big trap, into a room. Like, no one, when it's like, welcome, James family, at the server room, nobody was like, maybe we fucking shouldn't. Like, maybe, like, pump the brakes. Like, this is not, like, But then, like, so then they get absorbed into the internet or whatever. And the one thing that for, I don't know why this sticks in my craw and like chaps my ass as much as it does, but like Dom, LeBron, and Algie Rhythm are all talking, and it's like bouncing back and forth between all three of them. And then out of nowhere, LeBron's just like, where's my son? And like, he's just gone. And Don's like, he's in the serververse. And you're like, when? Like, did he like, did he apparate? Like, what happened?
So when that moment happened, this is before I text you and we started talking about the Hook reference. Immediately, you know what I thought of? Labyrinth. It was just like that. David Bowie, that like the plot of Labyrinth is, it comes at you so quick. Sarah, you know, Jennifer Connelly wishes to get rid of her brother. Like literally 3 seconds later, David Bowie's in the nursery. Baby's gone.
Throwing his balls at your face.
Where's my baby? Yeah. Like, where's Toby? That was the first thing that went in my mind when that scene happened. And it was just kind of like,
well, not to even mention that after that happens, the next scene where you see Algie after like LeBron becomes a Looney Tune, he's a cartoon stuff. The next scene you see Algie, his son's like, what's up, man? Like, we're just playing video games. What?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm sorry,
get me out of here.
It's like, hi, I banished your dad to the Phantom Realm. Do you want to, what's that game you made? Yeah. Like, I see that. Cool.
Oh, man.
It's just for me, like, doesn't come together ever to a point where, like I said, I just feel like it's either two separate movies or somebody was just like, because like even how they incorporated the players, like the other NBA players, I thought was just kind of like a weird afterthought where it's like, yeah, I scanned them into the game, and then like I just so much of it just did not work for me. Also, LeBron cannot pretend to scream to save his life.
No. Oh, he's so bad at that.
Like, okay, now you're falling from 50 feet. Now you're getting a shave. Okay, cool.
We say all this and like we're like, you know we're not, you know, we're definitely, but I still had fun with it, you know. Still,
oh, yeah.
It wasn't it's not great. I'm not like, you know,
sure,
but like, you know, if I'm like sitting around and I'm like looking for something to watch on HBO Max, I might turn it on, you know.
You know,
you might give it another 2 hours of your life. You just keep giving that movie your time.
Sean, I waited 25 years for this.
You know what? I hear you, man. Like, I've been waiting, I don't know, 32 for Ghostbusters 3. So I'm in the same boat, sir. So I know this is one of your favorite movies of all time. So I'm happy you got your sequel. I hope you enjoyed it as much as you say you did. And
trying to like put on the face of like,
right,
yeah, you're like, this is fine. I don't think it's gonna go down as as iconic as the original. Nothing ever does.
No.
You never look
did
back
you
at
see
Gremlins 2 like Gremlins 1, you know.
It was bad.
So during was it game 5 of the finals when LeBron showed up to like watch the game and he was courtside? Weird that he's there the weekend his movie debuts, that he's on national television. How's that happen?
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, they show him on like they did the whole like name bar thing where it's like LeBron James, Los Angeles Lakers, and like it says like LeBron James starring in Space Jam 2, and it says like 32% on Rotten Tomatoes, 2.5. It like does like the Metacritic.
Oh, wow, they went,
I was
they
gonna
threw
say they
him.
Should do that as a joke.
Oh. They actually did that.
Whew, that's amazing. That's brave.
Oh, on ABC they did that.
Yeah, and ABC okay. still
you know
standing.
Why? ABC, you know Disney. Why? You guys say ABC's owned by Disney.
That's what that was. You nailed that, Alex. That is exactly what that was. It's a, yeah, that was some shade thrown there. So 32%. Oh, why go see that when we make good movies for children? You know?
Right.
You know, and we have all of the Marvel films. So yeah, have fun. Have fun with your look-alike Danny DeVito Batman.
Like, sorry, we don't have to remind people of all the properties we own.
Well, it's going to be interesting because they have Free Guy coming out soon, that Ryan Reynolds video game movie.
Yeah.
So it's like, I wonder how they do with all like the, you know, you see the trailer, they bring like all the different video game stuff in. So I'm curious on that one.
Yeah. And it's, I don't mind that they do that.
I don't
like,
either.
I don't, I, there is a tactful way to do it,
right?
And there's a good way to do it, and it's not this sort of like overindulgent self-congratulatory weird like remember Game of Thrones like about everything. It's just I don't know, I like it just didn't, like I said, I keep saying it didn't come together.
Yeah,
I'm gonna agree with that as well. I don't think this movie comes together. Like you said, you're very, Alex, you're excellent at breaking down plot details.
Thank you.
And just kind of talking. You're very good at story structure. And it's something I really appreciate. You're able to put that into the words that I am not able to do.
Oh my
so.
Goodness.
So thank you for joining us today.
Yeah.
To talk
been
about
too long.
Space Jam.
I know. It's been 3 years. I wanted to ask you guys a quick question. Just
we
kind of like,
fan question too.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. So Michael Jordan's first year in the league was 85.
Yeah.
So that would put Space Jam at his 11th year in the league. So if we kept the timelines concurrent for LeBron, then if it were his 11th year in the league, this would have been 2014.
Yes.
Yep.
Would that have been a better time in his career to release this movie?
No, because he just lost to the Spurs that year.
I was thinking one of the things that I thought about after this movie,
like if he just came back to Cleveland, I think would have been the best time to do it.
Well, yeah. Well, I think yes. And I'm shocked that they didn't do it then. I was thinking that at the end of the movie, when the credits were kind of rolling, I was sitting there thinking this was probably something he should have done when he went back to Cleveland, because I don't know. I feel like LeBron as you know, going off to Miami is kind of the villain, and then coming back was a really big story, and then he eventually ended up winning a title. And they could have even done it the year after he won the title as well.
Mm-hmm.
But him being out in Hollywood and Lakers, I don't know. It's just there's something that kind of rubs you wrong about LeBron the whole movie, where he just doesn't seem like the redeeming star that Michael Jordan did. Like Michael Jordan was, being coerced to come back and play basketball,
right?
And just the story worked because of the inner workings of his life at the time. This was
right.
This whole story just seemed really forced.
Yeah.
The stuff with the son and everything. Cause I'm like, first of all, LeBron's son is one of the best young basketball players in the country. number two, there's no way he's building video games. Like that's just like, it's just, it, to me, it's just, I'm like, are they going
to
actually call him?
He gets
Bronny?
Someone to build video games
like,
for
no.
him.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. He doesn't need anybody to do that. So that was the other thing that I agree with you on that though. So yeah, it's
yeah.
So
the Twitter question we got was from my guy Jay Stoles. It's and I'm curious, if you could pair LeBron or MJ, being Michael Jordan, of course.
Sure.
With a different fictional universe in Warner Looney Tunes, which one would it be?
I mean, Marvel makes the most sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how
it would have to be LeBron. I don't think Michael Jordan could be like Black Panther. I don't think he would have like that act, like that range of like enthusiasm.
No, he would not.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, in terms of like universes, maybe like Fast and the Furious. Like, I don't know. Like,
oh, don't.
I mean,
don't.
Well, what do you think about it? Right, what are we gonna do? We're gonna put Michael Jordan in Star Wars?
No,
he doesn't have the bloodline to stop to save the galaxy, you know? So we're going to put him in Marvel.
All the stormtroopers just have like the Jumpman symbol on their
right. There's just a Wish logo. One's got a Zinni one above his. But
like
Rocky, would LeBron as a Rocky kind of story work?
I could see him being like the modern Clubber Lang if like did like Creed 3 and just kept like the plot of Creed 2. Like,
yeah. I think that's kind of a tough one. Marvel probably makes the most sense, but for Jordan,
I
don't know, man. That's a tough one. He doesn't really Michael Jordan is his own entity. He doesn't fit anywhere. He's not the most stylish human being in the universe. He is not the most, which is funny because, you know, he once was.
The fact that he did a movie alone is surprising enough as it is. Like,
honestly, it really is. When you look back at Michael Jordan's career, and it's the only thing he did besides that little cameo in Back in Action, it sounds like. So,
could have just been pulled like archive footage from Space Jam, like slapped over a green screen.
I mean, Larry Bird was showing up in everything during those days. He was showing up in Space Jam. He was showing up in Celtic Pride, you know? So, you know, he was one, he was showing up in Blue Chips. Yeah. Like Larry Bird was everywhere in the 90s.
I think just about every movie we've done on this show, he's been
a part of. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So, one other thing that I did notice the last Hoops movie that I saw was with,
does the Borat universe count? Sorry.
Yes,
because like, I mean, that would, does that work?
That would be the most fun. I think that would be the most fun. What I was gonna say is the last basketball film that I watched was with Tim in the theater when MoviePass was a thing, which seems so long ago. When we went to go see Uncle Drew and Lil Ray. Was that with Little?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in that, and he was in this as well, which I actually like, because anytime he shows up in something, I usually am having a good time. Like, I really like his comedy.
He's in Get Out, too, yeah.
He's in Get Out, and he's the comic relief of Get Out. So he had a very, really funny, short-lived comedy on Fox where Sinbad played his dad recently, and it got completely overlooked by everyone. And I was like, why was this canceled? It was kind
of
like,
I never even heard of that.
Cause it was a Fox show, Sean. Fox show gets canceled.
Yeah.
It's true.
But he ends up, his girlfriend breaks up with him, and he has to live with the shame, and Sinbad is his dad, and they all go to church, and he's like, go sit on the other side. We don't even want to be seated with you, you know? And Sinbad hasn't like at this point, like, I know he had a stroke last year, but before that he was on this show and he had not missed a beat. Like it was actually a really funny comedy. So
that's awesome.
Anytime I see him, I think he is just great in everything he's in. So I was really happy to see him on the announcer's table in this movie with Ernie Johnson, you know, showing up. So, but
to answer the franchise question, I think I got it. I would put LeBron in either G.I. Joe or Transformers.
Okay. I think that Transformers is perfect because you could do anything with him in Transformers.
Yeah. You could make him a Transformer.
You could even make him a Transformer. Exactly. So, woo. Yeah. Well, guys, it has been fun.
Oh, my God.
It has been so fun to talk about Space Jam, A New Legacy, a.k.a. Space Jam 2 in my mind. Thank you all for joining us. We hope to do more of these later on, bring out some other basketball hoops movies, but this one we just had to cover. And I'm really happy that you guys could both join me for this today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I don't know what our next basketball movie is going to be, but
we're just going to cave and do Air Bud. We're going to get really hammered and we're just going to talk Air Bud. So, and I think Alex might even join us on something like that, because that would just be a lot of fun. So anyways, thank you.
There's no rule that says dogs can't play basketball.
Thank you guys for joining us. Have a great day. Take it easy.
See you guys.